sexy, spooky bones.
Welcome to the Skeleton Boys, a horror movie podcast. I am Rolando.
And I am Johnny.
And welcome to the show.
And nice to be here.
This week we will review the humanist vampire seeking consenting suicidal person.
Rolls right off the tongue. I read a comment where somebody was like, for all you youngsters, this is the way people used to communicate via newspapers of classifieds. I'm like, okay.
Oh yeah, I didn't even get that, but yeah, that is accurate.
but it's also like I don't think that makes the title any better. I mean, it's cute. But
yeah.
If you are somebody that thinks they're old, and I think the person was probably in their early 30s, was like trying to explain to somebody who's younger what the title means, then it makes me think that one of the kids who comes up with this probably didn't realize that, and they just made up a really long title for something.
I mean, the title's long but self-explanatory, right? I mean,
did you know what this movie was about? No. Right,
like the couldn't tell you. They were all speaking French. Couldn't tell you.
I was very surprised because we haven't done one of these in a while that it was a vampire.
Well, to be fair, like, Perpetrator, was it a vampire movie?
I mean, it sucked. No, I'm just kidding. It's a joke.
Yeah. I mean, that's not far off.
But speaking of things that shock.
Oh, yeah. I'm not done with my intro. As always, John will give us the plot in 5 words. We'll give our first thoughts, and then we're going to do spoiler analysis. But first, we'll go back to TV Corner. We're watching Chucky Season 3, Episode 2, Let the Right One In. Also vampires. Spoilers.
Also vampires. Yeah,
spoilers for the fucking old movie.
No vampires in this episode.
I don't know. Lexi's looking a little pale. I don't know.
It's true. Oh, and Jake and Devin are gay, and for the most part, vampires are probably gay, as Anne Rice has described them.
I've heard some pretty wild things about the Anne Rice interview with the vampire. Like, well, first of all, it's really good, which is you've said before.
Oh, you finally saw it?
No. I've heard other people, like, that's the sentiment I hear, is that it's a really good show.
It's good, yeah. So. I think it's pushing what the book was more like as opposed to... The movie's excellent, right? It's like tour de force when it came out. I think in retrospect, it was playing a safe version of what Anne Rice wrote for mass audiences.
Yeah, I agree with that. I think this season, from what I've heard, is they're going to do the whole the stat becomes a rock star.
Oh, shit. All right.
So whatever the... Whatever that might mean. But I'm familiar with the... That was the sequel she wrote. Vampire Lestat.
Queen of the Damned.
Queen of the Damned. Was that also part of it?
Huh? Queen of the Damned?
Is that also part of Interview with a Vampire?
I don't know. Yes, I think, question mark. Please don't come after us in the comments. Gothic vampire romance was never in our repertoire. But Lestat is the rock star that Aaliyah, I forgot whatever, the Queen of the Damned comes back for or whatever.
Oh.
Because
tracks.
Remember, it's very important to note that Jonathan Davis was the person that got all his friends together to compose the score.
Yes. The most only memorable thing besides Aaliyah about that movie. had that weird British actor. He was like hot for a second because he also was in Leave Extraordinary Gentlemen as Dorian Gray.
Yes. Yeah, I heard what he had.
He sucked.
Personality clashes on sets, right? That was his thing.
Yeah.
Well, he said British. After doing Lestat, he was like, I think I'm going to take a break from acting. I'm like, nah, fool, I think people are telling you, like, we don't want to work with you.
Because so. You're a piece of shit. I don't get how, like, maybe we're not talking about Chucky anymore. But these actors, like, they get on, like, they famously, like, you know, they made a Lethal Weapon TV show. Were you aware of this maybe 5 years ago?
Oh, yeah, I knew, just because I knew people that worked on it.
Right.
Otherwise, I wouldn't have known about it.
That the guy who played Riggs.
He got replaced.
Yeah. Got canned after like one season or something like that.
He got replaced by Sean William Scott, I think.
Yes, I think that's true. What is it? Part of it was because he was like terrible on set. And I'm like, dude, I don't even know who you are. And like, where do you get the diva attitude from?
I think it's like people just faking it till they make it. Like, did you watch the breakdancing portion of the Olympics and the?
No, but I feel like I have at this point.
Because I finally saw like other countries competing, and I'm like, oh, they're fucking good.
Yeah.
You just are gonna get stuck watching the one person that scored a zero.
Ray gun.
Like, yeah. I was like, dude.
I mean, it was terrible. It was it fucking reminded terrible. Me of,
you remember that it went viral because somebody found an old like 90s hip hop tutorial VHS tape, and it's some like very, very Caucasian woman with like short hair going like, you just want to do this. And it's just like her picking up her hands up like this. Like it's not.
Yeah.
It felt like they got that tutorial and they're like, we fucking are going to nail this.
Somebody spliced her performance with the Bob's Burgers. You see that episode where... Because she did go to a hip-hop class. What was it? Oh, Teddy and Bob. Because he was supposed to learn ballroom dancing for Valentine's Day. And all she does is like, and that's hip-hop. That's all she says in all day.
And unfortunately, this might date again when we release these videos. But we just, for the second week in a row, experienced an earthquake. Immediately... Yeah. Popped up a fucking saying, me trying to remember whether I'm supposed to get underneath a desk or hide in a bathroom or in a doorway during an earthquake, and it's that lady doing the hip hop. The
yeah,
because we just not that long, maybe like what
three and a half hours ago,
three and a half hours ago,
yeah,
we had a pretty gnarly shake of the earth.
I was at the epicenter of it. The actual shake.
Yeah, you're pretty damn close to it, yeah.
Yeah, so. Yeah, no, it was a really bad one. But I guess we don't talk enough about earthquakes on our horror movie podcast, so.
No, we go through
enough. We should, yeah. Yeah, we're usually part of our daily life.
I think what has caused some concern was last week it generated from Bakersfield, right? So it's not... Sorry to people in Bakersfield, but you also live like 2 hours away, so I don't...
Maybe some sand got moved around is the worst thing that happened.
I'm sure it's fine. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
But here, it happened in fucking Pasadena, and I'm like, damn.
Yeah, there's people in Pasadena.
Yeah, yeah. A lot of people. Yeah, yeah. It's actual human life. No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah. So people don't know, Pasadena's great if you don't want to, like, go anywhere in L.A., it's all just in Pasadena.
If you know, which is fair. I used to hate that idea, but now I'm like, yeah, if I can just walk everywhere, that's fine.
Yeah. So fight for parking, stand in long lines, things sell out.
Yeah.
Argue with people behind the counter. I mean, that's usually what places are like. At trendy places. Yeah.
The closer you are to Hollywood, the more homeless people drifting from each alleyway to smoke more crack, which I saw recently.
Yeah.
Which I was talking about, I was walking around the other day with my partner, and you remember the old, I know we're not talking about Chucky, I'm just going off on a tangent here. You remember the that art installation for Bates Motel? They painted that entire abandoned motel white, including the palm trees over on Sunset and like near Hollywood Boulevard-ish and Sunset. So Silver Lake, not Hollywood, but Silver
okay.
Lake.
Yeah, yeah.
Across from the Elliott Smith Figure Eight album cover.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Wall. They tore all that down, and I was like, oh, I forgot they did this. And I was like, man, I feel like LA used to do a lot of cool shit. And now it feels dystopian for some reason sometimes.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird.
Things change, you know? Neighborhoods change.
We're cleaning up the streets because, God forbid, we have homeless people here during the Olympics.
Yeah, when they fucking...
Which I'm not looking forward to, I'll be honest.
Yeah, somebody made that comment that I'm repeating on Threads. They're like, it's like, how are we supposed to host an Olympics if we can't even figure out the Trader Joe's parking situation?
Oh, Ellie in a minute talked about why Trader Joe's parking lots are that small. And it was actually a really good explanation. And it's just way the city fucks everything up. Yeah, kind of. Yeah. No, it's just the way the city fucks everything up. I think initially it was supposed to be like, so the parking lot would look full and make it enticing to want to get there or to want to shop there.
Yeah.
But then it's also within like code boundaries. So you're stuck with however big a parking lot is per.
I say bullshit on that because every Trader Joe's parking lot are fucking tiny, which is
tiny. Yeah.
They're all like six spaces maybe and they're all full.
But I feel like places that have a lot of parking, let's say like a Whole Foods.
Mm-hmm.
Either is the only, like the one over by the Grove, either is the only establishment that survived that entire fucking plaza because Kmart died.
That's true.
It feels like they build a parking structure underneath it. Like they have so much money that they can build a parking structure underneath the shop.
In Pasadena, I think there's a Whole Foods and a Trader Joe's. Oh, maybe I'm getting that wrong. But the Trader Joe's is part of a mall. It's like the Lakes, I think is what it's called, or something like that. It's like a little shopping area. But there's no parking there either. Like,
I think the only Pasadena Trader Joe's I've ever been to is that one that literally has like a parking lot for like eight cars. It's literally that big.
Well, I think you're talking about the one that's in South Pass. The is it like kind of in a neighborhood?
Kinda. It is. I mean, the Trader Joe's itself is super fucking small.
Yeah. Yeah.
It takes 5 minutes to walk around that entire thing.
Yeah. It's like, I'm just here for chips and salsa.
Because that's all. Yeah, exactly. Did you need bread, chips, and salsa? Because that's all there is room for.
Yeah.
And spickaloos or whatever. Fucking cookie butter.
Cookie butter. Fucking. Okay.
And that's Chucky.
That's Chucky.
Season 3.
Give you a little LA humor.
All right. Let's actually talk about the show that it has become progressively more boring.
Essentially, we pick up exactly where we left off the previous episode, where Jake, Devin, and Lexi are trying to just find a way to get into the White House, and they see a way of befriending one of the president's sons, the older one.
Which is how Lexi has been making quote-unquote thirst trap TikTok dance videos, and she's like, oh, well, he follows me. I'm like, okay.
Yeah, it is...
Because the president's son is a loser
in this
for whatever reason.
Universe, yeah.
Yeah, because the president's son goes to a somewhat public, not public school, but, you know.
He's no Baron, but, like, Baron's the top teenage sons.
He's no Hunter Biden.
He's no Hunter Biden. Another president's son,
would have thought all these politicians would have shitty kids. That's so weird.
Never happens that way. Basically, that's all that happens. More people get murdered.
In this episode specifically, only redheads get murdered, so maybe that's what "let the right one in" means.
Yeah,
bloodheads. I don't know.
I just think that, like, the way they're portraying the White House stuff, awful. Just unbelievable. Yeah, unbelievable. And then So it almost feels like they maybe took on too much with this particular premise, because, you know, every season kind of has like a certain thing they're gonna, a certain location that will they'll follow through with. And wow, the White House.
You did bring up, and I think I just want to, because it was a really good point, because we kind of briefly talked about this before we started, that the writing doesn't feel up to par from what we've been watching too.
Right. Yeah.
And we quickly looked, and it seems like a lot of people have left or have changed positions, and it feels like it. It's just kind of weak so far.
The one constant, Don Mancini, who, it's his stuff, you know, it's his toys, it's his universe, you know what I mean? Like, he gets to do whatever he wants. So either, I think at this point, like, if you're into it, you're into it. I just think that, like, just the way the show starts, it's like, okay, here we go again. You know, like, how are Jake, Devin, Alexi gonna fight Chucky this time? Oh, it's at the White House. Okay, so, like, are we gonna explore themes of, like, make fun of, like, Trump? Are we making fun of Bush? You know what I mean? Are we gonna make fun of old Biden? Like, what's the...
They bring up Obama, which I thought was weird.
Yeah, that seems out of... I mean, like, it's been, what, like, almost 8 years removed from Obama now?
Yeah.
So it's like, that joke's not relevant, you know what I mean? Like, it just seems a little behind on the time. So there's no, like, biting satire there either. So just
Jake and Devin, will they, won't they fuck finally?
Oh, we'll definitely get there. Yeah, fucking the premise of the show is just like, it's always hindered on like the ridiculous, but this is just implausible. It's not fun. Yeah. Maybe they'll make it fun. I don't know. I mean, we'll find out, right? We've got what, 6 more episodes to go? Yes. I'm assuming there's 8. They tend to find ways to turn things around and make the most of things, but I just don't see. And surprisingly, Jake, Devin, and Alexi are pretty boring characters too.
They're boring characters. The president's son, I just don't think he's boring.
Yeah.
Everything about him's kind of boring.
Yeah.
Devin Sawa's kind of boring in this episode. Everybody's kind of boring.
Yeah.
And Chucky's not really talking. He's just killing people.
Not right, quite not understanding his motive yet, or what Chucky this is. Is this Prime Chucky? Or, like, we haven't really hit any of the mythology things, which I think you were letting me know. I think probably next episode is going to be a fucking dose of medicine of mythology for Chucky.
We need to bring back JT. No, sure. Not Justin Timberlake. Jenny Tilly.
But what about the tour?
Jenny Tilly. Sound like I said genitalia.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't like either. You kind of pointed this out, like, Jake and Devin are like, have no chemistry whatsoever. And yeah, they're in this, like, will they, won't they complicated relationship, and it's just like flat. And a lot of that has to do with the writing, and some of it's the acting, and it's just not going anywhere. We're spending so much time on it.
Yeah.
So.
But they finally make it into the White House, and then just like that, the one character we had come back from Hackensack, the redheaded teacher.
Right, their new surrogate mother.
Just fucking gets Aaron. Killed right away, which is.
Yeah.
When that was happening, I was like, I get it. I guess they're setting that up, but also, why even bother? Just.
Yeah, I had the same thought.
Let's move on. Yeah,
I had the same thought. Like, it's, well, first of all, it's familiar territory, right? Because, like, Chucky's killed all their parents, and now they're surrogate parents. So it's kind of like there's no shock anymore behind that.
But how would this Chucky know, unless it's Chucky Prime? How would this Chucky know that all the other parents are dead?
Exactly. Yeah, that's a great point. What's the what's the motivation there? I mean, to put him through shit, right? But how, like. The way they're treating Chucky is like he's like one step ahead of everybody, even the president, even the Secret Service, and like the all these other like people whose jobs are incredibly important. So the dumbing down of that whole White House thing is just,
and it's like historically, famously, right? The White House has no surveillance or microphones,
right? Yeah,
or anything. So there's no way to figure this out.
Yeah, even I mean,
there's such a trust inside the White House.
even like, what is it? Just the one thing that White House is known is like security. Like you could not get like close to entering that place without something happening. Like, so the plausibility of it is like, I'm all for like suspending my plausibility for the story and for the movie, but like, man,
you're telling me that they never x-rayed the Chucky doll to make sure there wasn't a fucking bomb in it or like a, you know,
or
fucking anthrax or something, like just to see that, oh, there's like organs and shit in this, what's up?
Or even one Google search, oh, this is the doll that supposedly all these people died, right? Like, you can bring up Andy's mom. You can bring up, like, all the factory they burned down. You can bring up the movies. There's, like, a littered history of things. Like, so Chucky is, like, known in this universe. He's not, like, a big secret. So, like, wouldn't they think it's weird that, like, my son has this fucking doll, which looks like it's from the 80s? There's no recognition either from the parents who were...
Oh. Yeah, I was gonna say even like piggybacking off that real quick. Yeah. Oh no, this is the president's son's new friends. They're fine. They've experienced a lot of loss. Who cares that every time anybody's around them in different locations in the U.S., everybody fucking gets murdered. I'm sure it's fine. They all hang out.
it's lazy, right? It's lazy writing. It's not sharp. It's not like biting. So like. It's a fun premise, Chucky in the White House. Oh my God, like that sounds great.
Cool.
Yeah. But it's just not, after two episodes, feels like a very dry, very like by numbers so far. And the only thing I will say, I'll give it a compliment because I know we're both kind of like mixed on it, is that I do like the kills this year. The kills have been really nice.
So Chucky's murders. Kills are nice. I just don't like Chucky being like an afterthought, or not an afterthought, just...
He feels like he's doing everything behind the curtain, right? Like, he doesn't seem present the way he was in the first two.
It's about Chucky, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. And it feels like it's a lot of, like... This show has proven to be very good about setting up, doing really good setup in one episode, but I feel like they've done setup for two episodes, and it feels dragged out.
Like the same...
Yeah. And you keep killing people, and there's going to be less storylines, right? To tell. I mean, I don't know.
And if this show gets renewed, that means Devon Sawa has to die at the end of the season.
Second to last for the season finale. Yeah, he dies.
So they would have to explain how they killed off the President of the United States of America in a TV show.
Exactly. And now that's going to be... I can't wait till they cross that bridge. That's going to be something that's going to be pretty ridiculous, I imagine. Not good. That's
It's also the teacher surrogate mother who is all about like, oh no, like you guys are absolutely not going to go to the White House. And then she was like, all right, fuck it, I'm coming with you. She gets asphyxiated, right? She suffocates to death because Chucky wraps something around her face. And I was like, I feel like this thing is so porous that she would be able to breathe.
The flag. It was the American flag, wasn't
it? Oh, yeah. And I was like, you know, just fucking fling Chucky across the room, right?
She's supposed to be like, I've always like, suspended my disbelief on that because it's like, whoa, he's probably like a little strong man or something. Well,
you remember like in the first season, the kids were like fucking knocking him all over the place.
That's true. Yeah.
And it's only the adults that can't fight back for whatever reason.
They're the only ones that have died. Yeah.
So as soon as the gang turns 18, that's when they're in trouble, I guess.
Yeah. It feels more and more like that scene where you had all the leads from the movies and the TV shows all standing together and they just killed the last Chucky. That was like the way the show should have ended. Like, oh, this is the finale. This is it. But here we are, retreading old ground. Things that are new are boring or implausible. So it's tough.
Have Chucky fight the Puppet Master puppets.
Now that I would watch if they were to like bring in another film franchise, you know?
Yeah. I'm a big sucker for the Puppet Master series.
Yeah.
I like anti-heroes because the puppets aren't the bad guys, right?
Yeah, and Freddy vs. Jason is one of the best movie soundtracks ever made.
Oh, shit.
Everybody knows that.
You remember when Freddy was like dark meat, right? Because he was talking to Kelly Rowland.
Poor Kelly Rowland, man. She's got the shit end of the stick. Like, for that movie, which she just wants to fucking be in that movie. Like, she's just trying to act. Like, she's not
trying to probably just stoked to be in the... Yeah.
Yeah.
Be a part of it, yeah.
She'll be... And then she gets terribly racist joke and then, like, memed to shit. And then at, was it Cannes this year? She was just trying to take photos on the steps and, like, they were, like, pushing her, rushing her out of the way and stuff so she couldn't take photos.
Oh, yeah. And I was like, what the fuck?
Who's
that was one of the few times where I was like, the security guard has no idea who the fuck this is and it's clear. Like, I was pissed off for her.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it's god-awful. Yeah, Kelly Rowland seems to be bad luck. So she's had a lot of bad luck. Unfortunate luck.
Justice for Kelly, right?
Justice for Kelly, yeah.
Hashtag justice for Kelly. That's still a thing, right? We still hashtag things?
On Threads, yeah. They don't always work. But they're okay. They're trying.
Pound justice for Kelly.
The thread count on Threads is going up. That's all I got to say. Nice. It's getting hot.
Well, yeah, because everybody, what is it? Again, not about Chucky, but all the journalists that were on Twitter have left fucking Twitter and are all like at the same time dropping on Threads.
I would say in the last month, there's been a huge influx of just people that were on X that are now moving over, completely abandoning the platform. If not, maybe they're still doing stuff. I deleted mine. I don't have mine anymore. So
your Threads?
No,
or your X. Twitter?
Yeah, X, yeah, yeah. So yeah, I think I would say by the end of the year, the fucking Threads is going to be Twitter. Probably what it was.
That's what they want, yeah.
Yeah.
And then another more important news, this comment I made on a viral video of this, I'm not sure what kind of animal it is, but this dude is commenting like, oh, what kind of animal is this? Is this a cuchibera? And then the animal runs up and ejaculates on command, like just whacks himself off. And immediately ejaculates.
Yeah.
And I made a comment, and it's about to reach 33,000 likes and 60 comments. So
yeah, you went viral.
If it was an Olympic sport to go viral on one comment,
you would have
about an animal that ejaculates. That's where I'm at.
Your
that's
score would have got zero. I didn't realize that she was doing not that weird that she was doing the kangaroo. She was doing like a kangaroo dance.
Yes. It was really fucking bad.
Really fucking bad. All right, that's it for Chucky. We should probably move to our main review. I apologize for the loose structure. It's just so goddamn hot, and we just had an earthquake. Yeah. So
it's an earthquake. It's fucking hot.
We were dying and sweating. So apologies.
We're not sure if we're watching clips from the Olympics or if somebody's fucking with us and releasing random videos because it doesn't seem real sometimes.
Just, yeah, it's a nightmare.
It's like what the swimmers fucking swimming in the Paris, the fucking wherever they're swimming right now in Paris, yeah, and it's river. Like disgusting water. Like,
yeah. It was, yeah. Okay. Let's move over to our main review of The Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Suicidal Person. John, do you want to give us the plot in five words?
Johnny.
Five words.
Plot summary.
Rolando, drum roll, please.
Four. The humanist vampire seems coming in at number three. Conservative family embraces progressive daughter.
Yeah, that's exactly what it is. Yeah.
Is she vegan? Is she not? Just kidding.
Oh, it's an allegory for veganism. Totally. Yeah. I can totally see it.
And there was something that was kind of off-putting about the whole thing, too. Like, oh, just, you know, this tradition.
This is what? Is it John?
Coming in at number two for Hominous Vampire Single Funk Up Smoking. Vampire Finds Town Sucks Already.
Yep.
Just what a weird premise. Like, it's just a town full of shit people.
Yeah. It's true.
And coming in at number one for Humanist Vampire Seeking Consenting Constipated Suicidal People, Let the Rom-Com In.
Very nice. All perfectly describing the plot of this movie. We watch another vampire movie. Teenage, a very familiar trope is coming of age.
By teenage, 68-year-old.
68-year-old, yeah. She's a coming of age story about a young vampire woman.
And a young man, boy, like teenage kid.
Yeah. And
it's not even his fault. He sucks at life. It's just everybody's a fucking bully in this town.
One of those movies that borders on, like, is it comedy? Is it horror? I don't know.
It's very
fun.
Let the right one in, right? But not like that. It's also very a girl walks home alone at night, but not that.
Oh yeah, very.
Is safer. I don't know. There's something. If you told me Zelda Williams directed this, I'm just kidding.
So your first thoughts, did you like it? Didn't like it? Mixed?
It was okay, I think. I think I'm a little mixed on it. I think I wanted to like it. But then I was like, this is just fine. I don't know. There's nothing. It felt like they dragged portions of the story out to fill out screen time to make it like an hour and a half sometimes. Because there was really no reason for some parts to be that long, I felt like.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. I didn't really understand why everybody sucked in the town so bad. I just assumed that's the way it is in France or wherever the fuck they were.
Yes, this is also a French movie. I believe it's French or French Canadian. I don't know. Probably French.
French. Yeah, because there's that one dude that is Spanish, so I'm assuming it's probably closer over there.
Yes, I thought that it is a premise that is. It's easy to explain the premise, right?
Yeah.
And I felt
would
like.
Would you say. Let me take a stab at it. I think the premise is like a vampire who is more of like a humanist, and they're seeking somebody that's consenting that wants to kill him or, you know, off themselves, a suicidal person maybe.
Yeah, basically she's empathetic towards humans, which is their food, so she doesn't kill people. So, and then she meets somebody who will kill himself for her so she could prove to her family that she can, you know, fend for herself, right? Survive on and her own.
That cold open, right, where she's younger, which I'm assuming she's probably in her 20s. The trying to figure out the math there.
Yeah, yeah.
Even though she looks like she's like 12.
11, younger, yeah.
Yeah, probably more like 7. I don't know. And they bring in like a clown for like a birthday party, and the whole point was to trap the clown so the girl could eat the clown. And it's supposed to be fun to me because it's like a family setup. But I just don't think.
Two on the nose.
I was like, where the concept of humor was fully grasped. Like, you had all the right things. You're like, why wasn't this funny? Like, you know, like, well, because it's just not. I don't know.
Yeah, I think it's pretty. Safe. Does that make sense?
Thing, yeah.
Not bad. I will say I did like the movie. I was entertained by it. But I can acknowledge that, you know, they're not, you know, this is nothing that I it kind of just seems like a setup for like a We'll Be Doing the Shadows episode.
I was gonna say there's. It felt familiar. It didn't seem new. And I didn't hate the movie. It was fine. It was just Like, I've probably seen a better version of this already, is what happened.
Right.
In Blood Ride, I think.
Yeah, absolutely. Defining horror Netflix series.
John Carpenter's Suburban Screams.
Netflix only produces quality. Humanist vampires seem consenting societal person. Like, I think the main thing is that the title is really long, and I enjoy saying it. And I think that it's just the premise, right? Like, just I want to describe the simplicity, right, of the plot. It's, oh, it's a vampire, but doesn't like to drink blood, who meets a guy who wants to kill himself. That's whatever you imagine is what happens. Does that make sense?
Yeah, like this kid wants to kill himself because he's getting bullied.
Yeah.
Pretty much by the no friends. Fucking town.
Yeah, they'll be like
the only person who seems like a normal, rational person is his mom, luckily.
And how plausible was it that this guy was like pretty normal looking and attractive? And it's like there's nothing like wrong with him. He's just quiet. Like, and doesn't know how to like stick up for himself, or doesn't want to, I guess, right? He's probably depressed, I guess, is the idea. Or French.
Which is where I got the. That was pretty much ripped from Let the Right One In.
Right.
Except like the way Let the Right One In ends, that whole thing is graphic and gruesome. And, well, Let the Right One In was just a very artsy film, I guess. This isn't trying to be artsy.
Right.
No. Yeah, I don't know. It was fine.
It leans into the comedy, right? It's trying to be like a.
At least a Frankenstein. I'm just kidding.
I think it's trying to be a more of a comedy horror movie in a horror premise, right? It's not. There's nothing really scary.
You know what would have made this movie better, I think, for me?
What?
Is if they got like keep her, but make her like a John Cusack type from High Fidelity.
Okay. Yeah.
You know, and it's just like him or her constantly going like, I don't know. It's just like, I don't want to do this. Like, just being that person as opposed to not really saying anything. I think that was another big gripe I had. I didn't know anything about her.
Yeah, we just know that she has this issue, right? That's pretty much her defining characteristic. We don't know anything outside of it. I thought it was a little weird. I mean, I get the joke of it, but I thought it was a little weird that there are doctor vampires that they go and talk to and stuff. And
yeah.
I mean, it's funny. I get it. It's the funny premise that vampires go to vampire doctors, vampire psychologists, and they tell her what's wrong with her, that she empathizes with humans too much, which is why she can't kill them, why her fangs don't come out. So it's like,
because the frontal part of her brain or whatever. I'm like, okay, cool, whatever. Yeah.
But then, like, what's that world about? We never revisit that idea that there's like a whole society of vampires, and whether they exist with humans or they don't, are they hiding? There's no like clear definitions of dynamics here. It was more done just for the comedy of it, right? Like this vampire psychiatrist, vampire doctors, whatever.
I feel like a episode of a television show, kind of.
Yeah, exactly. That's what I was saying. I was like, it reminded me of What We Do in the Shadows, because that show perfectly illustrates that, like, there's like all of this like underworld vampire culture that they have there and what is it? Long Island, right? Long Island or Staten Island? Is it Long Island? I don't remember.
I think so. I don't remember. Yeah.
or New Jersey. I don't know. One of those. But, and so it makes sense in the show, 'cause they've spent a lot of seasons developing and making that stuff, you know, filling out the mythology universe of that world, where it does make sense, where humans aren't aware. This one kind of just brazes over it, and like we're just to assume this stuff is here. And I get it. It could just all be just, it's supposed to be funny. It's a metaphor, you know, for troubled adolescent, right, that needs to overcome her issues and stuff. And it's played out that way. It's very like situational comedy kind of deal, you know, like parents that don't have a kid that doesn't understand them. They have a daughter who's like away at work. They have the funny aunt and stuff like that. Like, it's very like broadly, these characters are very broadly defined.
Oh my God. It also feels like they are all almost bending backwards to help this young lady who's not young. She's 68, right?
Right.
So they've been doing this for 68 years, and even the aunt is forgiving her for, like, the aunt accidentally churned somebody.
Mm-hmm.
Right? And then something happens towards the end, and the aunt's just like, you know, you can't live with me, but...
I think that's her sister. Wasn't that her...
Her sister?
I think...
Her cousin?
Cousin, sister. The aunt is the older lady. The older...
Yeah.
Bigger lady.
So her cousin?
I thought it was her sister, but I could be wrong about that.
It could be. I don't know. Her sister, sure.
Yeah.
Oh, no, she was the niece. Her character's name was Denise.
Denise, the niece. This is perfect. Impeccable writing. Saying all of that, I still think it had moments. Like, I actually enjoyed early on the dynamic of the mother and father. I thought they were really good. Like,
oh, yeah.
The fact that the father's, like, incredibly empathetic and sensitive to her thing and is incredibly nice, and the mom's more of the one who's pushy about...
Well, that was a cute thing, what you're talking about. That was just more of, in this vampire universe, I think it relates more to, like, the animal kingdom, where the gender association with responsibilities aren't the same.
Right.
It's always like the mom constantly talked about, like, I can't keep hunting for like another 200 years for all of us.
Yeah. Which is like generally the women are portrayed as the nurturer, caregiver, right? And the man is sort of the one that's like the hunter gatherer, if you want to go so far, right? But it's the opposite, right? Because the man is more like sensitive to her, and like when they send her away, she's like, he sends her like a little care package of blood and make sure it's just enough for a week and stuff, which I thought was all great. That's fun. That's really great satire, right?
But too bad the 68-year-old young lady is kind of a dumbass and like just fell asleep with all the blood packs out.
Like, she's a teenager. Yeah.
So. Yeah. It's classic 68-year-old teenager tropes.
Yeah.
But the dynamic between the mom and the dad reminded me of Ra.
Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Another...
Spoilers for Ra.
Vampire?
No, they're cannibals. They're cannibals.
Cannibals.
Yeah.
But they have an insane... They can't eat anything else after they had human blood or whatever, remember?
Well,
or
they flesh. They...
Yeah.
And just the juxtaposition between that, right? Because, like, not to... It's, you shouldn't compare movies, right? But like Raw was more like explored more mature concepts and ideas, and this is more of just like fun, entertaining movie. We're showing you vampires that are very, you know, basic knowledge of vampires. There's really nothing that it's trying to like reinvent or say.
Yeah, that's why I think, yeah, it's very like, it's trying to be grounded rom-com version of Let the Right One In, I guess.
Yeah, with hints of, like you said, what is it?
Oh, not Let the Right One In, sorry. Girl Walks in Home Alone.
Now. Yes, there was hints of, there's like literally a scene that I think they just stole from that other movie. That, yeah.
Even the part, yeah, are you talking about the where they're listening to music?
Yes. Except, yes.
Yeah.
That's completely taken like, from...
Ripped from the movie. Yeah.
Yeah. Even, yeah, that's all. I mean, that scene stood out to me as like, okay, they're clearly inspired by...
You see your influences.
Yeah, completely. What else can we say? Do you want to go into spoilers?
Yeah, I think so.
Because
they're vampires. No, I was kidding.
Right? Did she find a consenting suicidal person? This humanist vampire that was seeking it? I don't know. We'll find out right now in spoilers.
Wait! No! Stop talking, guys. Stop the podcast. Stop. Please stop the podcast. Because we're about to go into
spoilers. So an ad was never put out. She just happens to be walking by somebody that's on top of a building wanting to jump off.
It's pretty crazy that that like I didn't that didn't even occur to me that it's supposed that you brought up that it's supposed to be like a newspaper ad or like a classified yeah. ad, which what are the kids comparison for the kids? Craigslist? Do the kids still like Craigslist? I don't know, just, I don't know the DMs. The, I don't know. Still comparison. The moderate
the white equivalent. Pages, the yellow pages, right? I don't know. That's not a thing anymore.
Pages aren't a thing.
No.
No.
Like a LinkedIn ad? No, I don't know.
Snapchat ads? I have no fucking clue.
It's like a Tinder profile, except you're, I don't know, not looking to date.
I know what it is. Facebook Marketplace. That's what it is.
There it is.
There it is. But yeah, that's a weird comparison. That never dawned on me.
Because it doesn't really apply to the movie at all, except for maybe kind of at the end.
So yeah,
like you understand that's what she's hopeful for, but she's not actively looking for that. She's just made up her mind that she's not gonna kill somebody.
Oh, you know what it is? Okay, so we're gonna skip all the way to the end. I think I get it because
it's well, the kid wrote it in
the kid wrote book. It down. Yeah. Yeah, like as an ad that. Basically, like, for people that are suicidal, if they want to, like, sacrifice themselves. So the young couple or whatever don't feel guilty about killing people. Like, somehow that's, somehow that is, like, okay, I like these people kind of motive. Yeah. It's like, what the fuck?
So I'm assuming the idea was if they were to make a sequel to this, that people would be aware that vampires exist.
Yes.
Because otherwise the ending doesn't make sense, kind of.
Right, right.
I mean, I guess they can do whatever they want, but yeah. And what like this kid writes out all these things because she passes out and he is... okay, so one of his bullies gets killed by her and that's her first official kill, finally.
Mm-hmm.
And they're trying to find this kid, the kid Paul, because they're like, you got to kill him. He knows. But he stays up. He like tried to make coffee for her. And so he drank a pot of coffee and wrote like 500 something things. And I was like, I'm going to believe this because he's a teenager. Because if I drink a pot of coffee, I got like a solid 45 minutes and then I'm probably going to want to take a nap. So.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah.
But those are all the things he wrote down in his notebook about, like, plans to escape or plans to, like, drink blood or whatever.
Yeah. I feel like the thing I couldn't wrap my head around was that there weren't a couple, right? They didn't like each other.
Well, after that whole sequence with the song, it made it seem like, oh, maybe they do have feelings for each other.
Oh, because...
He was ready to just die, I think.
She's attracted to him, right? That was like the whole thing is she...
which makes her, and it's fine to say, a pedophile.
Pedophile.
Because she is 68. He is probably 17.
He's legitimately 17.
16.
Well, nothing happened between them, so just grooming is what...
No, she sucked him, right? On his neck?
She sucked him off, yeah. Well, to turn him, not to kill him, right? That's kind of like where we leave it.
His bully, though, she whacked him off.
Yeah. Yeah.
He got whacked off. He died. Now he's dead.
Yeah, she swallowed all his blood. We're very mature.
And then that Spanish guy that the
that guy was great. So first of all, that guy was great because yeah. I thought he was just going to be another dumb kill,
which he kind of was, which was really funny.
So the niece brings people home and murders them, and is trying to get our main character like into the whole idea of killing, so she could eat. And she brings home this Spanish guy who's really like obnoxious, dumb and obnoxious guy.
They tell you I have a hot tub and they're like, yeah, you've already told us that.
Exactly. And she, of course, like tries to serve give give him to her to kill, but she ends up not going through with it. And then like she's, so the niece is like, okay, fine, I'll do it. And then she goes and tries to like, she's biting him and like sucking his blood and everything, and she like draws attention to it, and so she stops, and so he becomes a vampire. And so somehow, yeah, so he becomes a vampire. So like it's that whole thing where they're like she's like kind of like, what is it, What We Do in the Shadows too, where like the vampire that made you stay with him or something like that. And
yeah, and she's just kind of stuck with him reluctantly.
Essentially, he's playing the dumb brother-in-law archetype, right? Like, so but I thought it was funny.
Kind of another role reversal, right? Like she accidentally, in this is the analogy I'm going to use, like she accidentally knocked him up,
right?
Couldn't do anything about it, and now she's stuck with him.
Yeah, exactly. Like she doesn't defend him, and she thinks he's stupid, stuff like that. But she behaves like she's stuck with him.
His character kind of reminded me of Kevin Durant's muscle bonehead character in Abigail.
Yeah. Yeah. Just kind of a dumb guy or whatever, but
because at the end when so this is the big reveal, is she turns the Paul kid,
right?
Instead and of, he's yeah. about to die or whatever, and they're like, oh, we should just drive a stake into his heart, and the dumb new brother-in-law is about to stab him in the chest, and she's like, no, don't do that. And then they're like, oh look, he's coming back, come on, let's give him blood. And the
dad,
aunt, the mom,
oh, the aunt has a flask, yeah,
flask of blood,
right?
And then they're like, come on, give him your blood bag, grab your blood bag. And the cousin or niece or whatever the hell she is,
yeah,
is like, what, no. And then the brother-in-law's like, come on, just give him the bags.
Yeah,
it's really funny. Come on.
Yeah, I like the dudes, like they're like, oh, I think his name was JP, stab him with your pen, okay. And he just bits out the pen top and just like goes, tries to stab him, because he wants to like prove himself to be in that family and stuff. So
yeah, which is like just lucky that he's just that cool about like, oh, he, okay, I'm a part of his vampire family now.
Yeah.
I didn't understand why all of a sudden Paul became a goth kid when he became a vampire, but you know, whatever.
I mean, that's what you do as a vampire.
The rest of the family seemed fine, but living life.
I must say, I don't think they've ever heard Joy Division. I'm just kidding.
Oh, that's true.
So Paul, I believe, has heard Joy Division before. That I do believe.
Yeah.
Right. Tracks. Tracks for the character.
I believe him, yeah.
Alrighty. I don't know if you have any.
Oh, well.
Yes.
There's like one more thing.
Yeah.
There was a concern about what was going to happen to his mom because she's a single mother.
Oh, yes. I thought it was dumb. But go, yeah,
and
go ahead.
She helps him find patients that are ready to die.
Kind of fucked up, yeah.
That's just how that ends. They find this one lady who's like ready to die already, said bye to her family, and she plays music for her, and Paul siphons her blood.
Yeah. Kind of like that's the suicidal part of it, right? Like they're ready to die.
Yeah.
I guess, yeah. It was dumb. Still more, it's like it goes against her code as a medical practitioner. I don't know. I don't want to call her a nurse. That seems really.
Or maybe she moved into a hospice. I was kidding.
But anyways, yeah, she's finding patients, I'm assuming, that are willing to be killed off.
Get sucked off or whatever.
Get sucked off, yeah.
There aren't too many patients that are willing to get sucked off, I don't think. But
right. And not the girl, just the boy. But yeah. All is well. Everything worked out for everybody. Hurrah.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Alrighty. You have any other thoughts? You want to rate it?
I'm ready to rate it.
Curious about the ratings. So, John, how many sexy spooky bones do you want to give it?
How many sexy spooky bones will you give it? Sexy bones.
Don't do that. Just rate the movie.
I'm going to give
humanist vampires stinking, sinking, constipated, sucking people. Six sexy, spooky bones.
I like how you were trying to say it correctly and you got messed up.
I was like, fuck it. I'm just going to say whatever now. Yeah.
Okay, yeah. I'm going to give it humanist vampire seeking consenting suicidal person a 7.
Nice, yeah.
Despite its faults, I thought it was an entertaining movie. It's a fun movie.
We also paid for it, so.
So I loved it. Yeah. All right, guys, gals, non-binary pals, thank you for listening. And as always,
stay spooky and keep those ACs running. Shit.